Wednesdays from 10 to 11 p.m. on CFRO Co-op Radio 102.7 FM Vancouver. Or you can hear us anytime at AccordionNoir.org.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 102.7 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, July 16th, 2010. I am your co-host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my co-host, Joanne Chang, and our technician, John Pranger, who is running the controls. We also have a new guest co-host in the studio with us today, Carissa Thorpe. Welcome to the show, Carissa.
Hello.
On today's show, we have two interviews to present to you. First up, we will be interviewing Janos Mate, who is the founder of the local activist network called Whale Friends here in Vancouver. Whale Friends is campaigning to phase out the incarceration of whales and dolphins at the Vancouver Aquarium. Next Monday, a motion will be put before the Vancouver Park Board at its meeting seeking approval for a plebiscite to be put forth during the 2011 Vancouver civic elections. If put through, this plebiscite will ask the public if they are in favor of phasing out existing cetacean exhibits and ending future containment of cetaceans on land leased by the Vancouver Park Board. In short, this would result in no more whales and dolphins at the Vancouver Aquarium. I look forward to speaking with Janos to find out about this pressing issue and how we can help. And for our feature interview today, we have Nadia Masoudi on the show to talk about Animal Freedom Day. Nadia is an 18-year-old filmmaker and animal activist from Hamilton, Ontario. It is her goal to become an advocate leader for animal rights, and one of her endeavors is Animal Freedom Day, which is a global event to be held this July 24th and aims to raise awareness about the need for animal rights in every society and to create positive solutions for the protection of animals. Nadia is also the producer and director of a new documentary film called Don't Eat Me, which we will also be speaking to her about on the show. Once again, I'd like to bring to your attention the opportunity to keep the Animal Voices show running on the air. If you support the work that we do here every week at Animal Voices to bring you original quality programming on the topics of current animal issues and the vegan lifestyle, we ask of you to please show us your support by becoming a member of Co-op Radio, because we do rely on your membership donations to keep this show running. To become a member, just simply go to www.cooperadio.com. Where it will show you how to sign up, and remember to indicate Animal Voices on your donation form. We thank you in advance for your monetary support, and it doesn't matter how much or how little you contribute for your membership, every little bit helps. And we are also putting a call out to you, our listeners, to contact us if you are interested in becoming a control room technician at the Animal Voices show. No experience is needed, although an aptitude for learning technical stuff is desired. If you want to get experience working in a real-life radio station control room, are free on Friday afternoons to be at our studio in downtown Vancouver, and wish to do good volunteer work for the animals, then we want to hear from you. Please contact Joanne and I by emailing us at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. At this time, I want to remind our listeners out there to please join our Facebook group. It's called Animal Voices Vancouver. Please show your online support by joining there, and you'll get to receive advance notice of what's coming up on our show. Plus, we post all of our shows there as MP3s to listen to directly from the page, and there are some interesting discussions to join in on and contests as well to enter. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our show on the Facebook page, and you are also welcome and encouraged to send your comments and suggestions to our email address if you prefer, which is once again radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter as well if you want to follow us there. Our Twitter name is animalvoicesyvr, all one word. And last but not least, please do check out our website, www.animalvoices.org. We launched our website a couple months ago, and we've been updating it every week, putting a lot of our archive shows on there. And our shows can also be downloaded from there as well. So, Joanne, apparently our city of Vancouver has now set a goal to be the greenest city by the year 2020. And, of course, veganism comes into play with that. What would you like to tell our listeners about going vegan to green Vancouver?
Well, Vancouver's Greenest City Action Team is soliciting ideas from you to make Vancouver the greenest city. According to the website, Vancouver has adopted a set of bold and inspiring goals for the long term. They will require harnessing our city's greatest resources, people, businesses, organizations, schools, and institutions. We won't get to perfection by 2020, but we'll start on the path to goal. To global green leadership. We invite you to be a part of this historic transformation. Help us find the solution to creating a prosperous and sustainable economy, a healthier planet, and happier people. What would you do to make Vancouver the greenest city in the world? Among all of the great green ideas out there, which would you pursue first? Help us prioritize between blue sky visions and immediate opportunities. Give us your pet ideas and your audacious possibilities. Please provide your input and vote on the ideas that you think will work best before September 30th, 2010. And interestingly enough, currently ranked the number 3 ranked suggestion from Vancouverites is to offer vegan options for all as a way to make our city green. And the blurb underneath the suggestion says, a global shift towards a vegan diet is vital to save the world from hunger, fuel poverty, and the impacts of climate change. And, you know, I'm very pleased to see that Vancouverites are so educated about the connection between climate change and the production and consumption of animal products. And, of course, our listeners are more educated than the average people out there.
Because they listen to our show, of course.
That's right. they will know that in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, animal agriculture blows car emissions right out of the water. In fact, according to the United Nations and World Watch Institute, and numerous leading climate experts, animal agriculture actually causes more greenhouse gas emissions than all of the cars, trucks, trains, ships, and planes combined. And not to mention the amount of land, water, and crops that go into raising 55 billion food animals a year for our consumption. So animals we raise for food actually outnumber the total number of humans by 8 times. Wow.
Yeah.
This means that animals suck up 8 times more resources than we do, and inevitably the world is contaminated with the massive amount of waste created by these animals. So you don't have to be a scientist to understand. If you just ate plants directly, the world would be in a much better shape. So, you know, it goes without saying, it is not only reasonable, but necessary for us to look at our own eating habits to curtail pollution and greenhouse gas emissions. Changing our diet, changing our eating habit is the most accessible and easiest way to save the planet and our own health. However, the only way we can do this easily is if people always have the option to eat plant-based foods. And that's what this suggestion here is saying, to give people the option. Currently, there's never any vegan options wherever you go. Yet whenever, you know, I've been at a work function or a community event where vegan options are given, the vegan food is always all gone, and the meat and dairy products are always just kind of left there to rot. So, you know, why make it nearly impossible for people to eat a diet that they that they like and one that is good for the environment.
You know, they say that, you know, Vancouver is one of the most vegan friendly cities in North America. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, when you're living here, it doesn't always feel that way. Like, no. You really need to know where to go. You can't, like, as a vegan, I can't just eat at an average place, right? Because there might be a tomato pasta or a veggie burger on the menu, but you're really, you know, and sometimes there's nothing. There's a salad, right? And
oh, yeah.
There really needs to be more than that. So I really like this idea of encourage vegan options for all. Just get it more there in the mainstream and have, you know, restaurants really, and of course it should start with City of Vancouver establishments really,
right, and
offer those options.
It's not really about people forcing you to eat vegan, but you know, offering the option
having
out
the
there
options.
Because it's low, eating lower on the food chain is always good for the environment. It's like saying, you know, if you have bike racks outside of buildings, that's forcing people to ride bikes. That's not true.
That's a good analogy,
right? And this is what people say, I don't want to eat vegan food, but you know, you get 5 different options of what kind of meat you want to eat, which animal do you want to eat, but never any vegan options.
Usually it's more than 5.
Yeah, exactly. And then the rest of the vegetarian stuff is loaded with cheese. So quickly, if you'd like to vote for vegan options for all, please go to talkgreentous.ca and click on the top right hand side of the page where it says share your ideas and cast 3 votes for the vegan options for all suggestion.
Right now it's number 3, but you know, we still need a lot of people to get on there to make sure that it does stay in the top 3.
That's
so it's
correct.
On the first page, and you have until September 30th. Thank you very much, Joanne, for that. That was awesome. Now for our upcoming events, on Monday, July the 19th at 7:00 p.m., there will be a meeting of the Vancouver Park Board to discuss a motion to hold a whale and dolphin plebiscite, as I was mentioning before, during the 2011 Vancouver civic election. This is going to take place at the Park Board office at 2099 Beach Avenue in Vancouver. The public has the right to speak to the motion and is permitted to attend the meeting. Those interested have to sign on to the speakers list from now until noon on Monday. To get on the speakers list, phone Sharla Hay at 604-257-8452. That's 604-257-8452. It is important to have as many people as possible speaking eloquently in favor of the plebiscite and on why it matters for the citizens of Vancouver to have the right to express their opinion directly on the issue of whether or not they want whales and dolphins to remain in captivity. This motion will be voted on at this meeting and needs 4 out of 7 Park Board members to vote yes in order to pass. Even if you don't plan on speaking, you are welcome and encouraged to attend this meeting. So that's Monday, July 19th at 7 p.m. at 2099 Beach Avenue in Vancouver. Saturday, July 24th, it's Animal Freedom Day all over the world. Animal Freedom Day is a global event that aims to raise awareness about the need for animal rights in every society and to create positive solutions for the protection of animals. It is a day in which people from all walks of life cease to consume animal or animal byproducts and to gain support for the goal of putting an end to the slaughtering of animals, animal abuse, and the creation of alternative food sources. I urge you to find out more by checking out the website for this global event at www.animalfreedomday.com. This event is organized by Hamilton, Ontario's 18-year-old activist Nadia Masoudi, who we will have on the show today to speak to us about this event. On Wednesday, July the 28th, from 5 to 8 p.m., there will be a vegan bake sale fundraiser to save Uvic rabbits at 3G Vegetarian Restaurant at 3424 Canby Street in Vancouver. Emergency funds are desperately needed to spay and neuter 1,600 rabbits from the University of Victoria campus. The rabbits will be relocated to safe sanctuaries to live out the rest of their lives. Only as many rabbits can be saved as there is money to spay, neuter, and transport. So the funds raised at this bake sale will all go directly to saving more bunnies' lives. UVic has plans to kill any rabbits who are not rescued. Please bring your wallet and sweet tooth to this life-saving event. And if you would like to donate vegan baked goods, please contact Joanne at joanne@liberationbc.org. And that happens to be Joanne, who
That's
is here.
Right. And I want to quickly mention that if you stay to eat at the restaurant, 3G Restaurant has graciously decided to donate 20% of what they make that night to the UVic Rabbit Funds. And we've also secured a matching donor who will match up to $1,000 of the money raised for the bake sale.
That's wonderful to hear. And it's it'll be just go down and, you know, get some goodies and eat some really good vegan Chinese food. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, July the 28th at 10 o'clock p.m., there's a television documentary airing called Revealed: No Country for Animals on the Global Television Network in Canada. No Country for Animals examines Canada's deplorable record on animal welfare and looks at the people who are fighting to bring about much-needed change. This documentary exposes Quebec's notorious puppy mills and examines the mistreatment of animals raised for food. You'll see the gestation crates where animals spend their entire lives confined in standing positions and overcrowded abattoir-bound trucks where livestock can go for days without food and water. This program introduces viewers to some of the people who are fighting to bring about change in this country. There's Nicole Jonkas challenging the Quebec courts to close their horrific puppy mills, and Twyla Francois, armed with an undercover camera, campaigning vigorously to bring attention to the mistreatment of farm animals. You'll see Canada's first lawyer to specialize in animal law and a new young generation dedicated to the fight to improve the lives of animals through legal and educational means. No Country for Animals is a documentary that will enlighten and enrage you and will leave you wondering how humane our society really is. If you have an animal or a vegetarian-related event coming up that you would like to have announced on the show, please email us the details at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, which is called Animal Voices Vancouver.
You are listening to the Animal Voices Radio Show on 102.7 FM CFRO, Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Our first interview today is with Janos Mate, who is the founder of the local activist network Whale Friends, which is campaigning to phase out the incarceration of whales and dolphins at the Vancouver Aquarium. Next Monday, a motion will be put before the Vancouver Park Board at its meeting seeking approval for a plebiscite to be put forth during the 2011 Vancouver civic elections, asking the public if they are in favor of phasing out existing cetacean exhibits and ending future further containment of cetaceans on land leased by the Vancouver Park Board. Hello, Janos, and welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Can you please tell us about this discussion that will be happening next Monday night at the Park Board and what we can expect to happen there?
Well, it's a very simple discussion. Commissioner Stuart McKinnon, seconded by Commissioner Loretta Woodcock, putting forth a motion that says, whereas the residents of Vancouver value the ability to express their views on relevant issues of the day, and whereas a plebiscite is a non-binding democratic tool to survey the public sentiment, and whereas at a special board meeting dated November 27, 2006, the Park Board passed a motion to review the Parks Control Bylaw relating to captive cetaceans in 2015, therefore, be it resolved that a plebiscite be held during the 2011 Vancouver civic election, asking the public if they are in favor of ending the containment of cetaceans in Vancouver parks, including the phase-out of existing cetacean exhibits which are located on land leased by the Park Board.
And the public is welcome to attend this meeting and individually voice their opinions on the matter. Is that correct?
The public is absolutely welcome to speak to this issue. And if anybody is interested in putting their name on the list of speakers, they have to get in touch with the Park Board office between now and noon on Monday and to phone Sharla Hay at 604-257-8452.
So how did this idea of a public referendum come to be? Can you tell us what event or events have led up to the Park Board even considering such a thing for a city referendum in 2011?
Well, there has been controversy over the captivity of these intelligent sentient beings in the Vancouver Aquarium since the very beginning. And there have always been people who were calling for a citywide referendum on this issue over the years. In fact, in 1996, the then NPA Park Board debated the issue of the expansion of the of the aquarium, and they made a decision that should the aquarium request to expand its footprint in Stanley Park, that there would be referendum held on that in the city. And then in 2005, the Cope-dominated Park Board decided that the question of phasing out cetacean captivity in Stanley Park should be put to a citywide referendum. Unfortunately, the last park board, the NPA Park Board, in 2006, in cahoots with the aquarium, rescinded both of those earlier decisions. And the park board then initiated a so-called public consultation process, which was paid for and managed by the aquarium. And this public management process ended up delivering to the aquarium what the aquarium paid for, and based on the results of that process, the so disposed MPA Park Board then voted in favor of expanding the aquarium, which of course will mean more space for more captive cetaceans, and signed a long-term lease with the aquarium. And in the lease it says that the issue of captive cetaceans will come up for review in 2015, but not till 2015. Then more recently, in February, there was a death in SeaWorld in Orlando, a tragic death of an orca trainer killed by the orca, which again raised public interest in the issue of captivity. Then the movie The Cove came out, and again it got the Academy Award and was highly acclaimed, and that again raised further public concern. And then the death of the baby beluga at the Vancouver Aquarium a couple of weeks ago once again brought it to the forefront.
Right.
So since February, we have been contacting the park board, asking that they should hold a referendum in 2011 on this issue.
It really seems like it really, as you say, it's all coming to the forefront now, just all of these things happening in succession. Why do you think the park board has never asked for a public opinion before on the issue of whether our city's citizens want dolphins and whales to be kept in captivity?
I think that the park board has been in close alliance typically with the Vancouver Aquarium, and the Vancouver Aquarium does not want this kind of a referendum because they know that the majority of people will, if it comes down to the ballot box, will intuitively and rationally vote in favor of freedom, and that they will vote to phase out the captivity of whales and dolphins in the aquarium. So the aquarium doesn't want this referendum, and they use their political allies on the park board to block block the opportunity for the citizens to have a say, a direct say.
So a similar referendum happened in the 1990s, which resulted in the Stanley Park Zoo closing. Can you comment on this?
Well, that was one example of what happens when there's a referendum, when the public is given a chance to have a direct say on a moral, ethical issue and the financial issue. So in there were two referendums held in the 1990s, and in 1994, finally the NPA Park Board caved into public opinion, because both referendums showed that the majority of people were in favor of phasing out the Vancouver Zoo and or the Stanley Park Zoo. So that precedent, I think, has sent a warning to the aquarium not to allow a similar referendum to take place in the city of Vancouver.
So for this meeting that's happening next Monday of the Vancouver Park Board, how many votes are needed in order for this referendum to be put forth?
There are seven commissioners. We need a majority, which is four. And right now it looks like we have the support of three commissioners for the plebiscite. And some of the others are hiding behind the fear that having a plebiscite would open the city to a lawsuit from the aquarium. And this is a real puzzling question, whether in fact there is any clause in the existing lease with the aquarium that prohibits the democratically elected representatives of the people from holding a non-binding plebiscite to gauge public opinion. It is incredible if that kind of a clause is, in fact, in the leaf.
And according to what you know, is the public in general in favor of keeping whales and dolphins in captivity or not?
Our understanding, based on polls that have been taken in the past, like in 2003, ZooCheck from Toronto did a poll in Vancouver, and it showed that the majority of people were in favor of phasing out the captivity. They were not in favor of immediately releasing the existing captives, but they were in favor of phasing them out.
What can you tell us about keeping whales and dolphins in captivity? What facts does the public need to know about this?
Well, the first thing the public has to understand is that these are incredibly intelligent, sentient beings. Scientists know that they have self-awareness, that they recognize themselves in a mirror, that they live in social units, they have their own language, they learn from each other through social behavior, which is considered the sign of culture. We also know that from an evolutionary perspective, they have similar brain cells as human beings and great apes. As a result of this, these animals suffer greatly in captivity. In fact, the American Humane Society came to the conclusion that keeping small cetaceans, like dolphins, in concrete tanks that are barely 6 to 7 times their size is inhumane beyond comprehension. And similar findings were found by other animal rights organizations as well.
So last month, as you mentioned, the baby beluga named Nala died at the Vancouver Aquarium due to her airway being blocked by rocks and a penny. Can you comment on this?
Well, death of the baby beluga was tragic, but so is the life of all the cetaceans that's in the aquarium. So the media pays a lot of attention to these deaths, but there have been about 36 cetacean deaths accredited to the Vancouver Aquarium over the years. And about 9 of those were baby cetaceans that were born in the aquarium, 3 orca babies and 4 beluga babies among them. So with debris falling into the pool and pennies falling into the pool, picking up this debris is a sign of stress among these animals, and it's tragic that that happened, and the only way to avoid it is to stop the breeding program in the aquarium and to phase out the captivity of these animals.
And in February, as you mentioned, the orca whale Tilikum killed his trainer at Orland SeaWorld. What do you think of this?
I think the amazing thing is that, there have been previous tragedies like that, but the amazing thing is that these incidences don't happen more often. If you can imagine human beings held under inhumane circumstances like that, they would strike back. And we're told that orcas do not accidentally act, that they have such awareness. They know what they're doing, and it was tragic, but it's just amazing that it doesn't happen more often.
You say that they have such awareness, and I know that it must be the same for dolphins, which are highly intelligent mammals. Now, we've posted a video that's just been released on the internet on our website. It's a video that of a dolphin at an aquarium in Japan literally jumping out of the water tank last week during a show with a full audience there. This was at an aquarium in Japan. They were having a show, and the statement from the aquarium, they said that the dolphin just did it by accident. He was just playing, and it just kind of accidentally happened. If you watch that video, you can see it's not by accident. He tried a couple times, and then he came out of the tank. What do you think of this tragic event? I think it's tragic because you're seeing, for the first time, you're seeing a dolphin that's literally trying to escape with his life.
I'm in the process of reading a book called Rekindling the Waters by a woman called Léa Lemieux, who has been swimming with dolphins both in captivity and in the wild for decades. And in it she describes how some captive dolphins in Cuba tried to escape from their confinement. And the video that you're talking about shows a very similar intention on the part of the dolphin. And it's just self-serving on the part of the aquarium to say that this dolphin just did it by accident.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't by accident. Finally, what can people do who are concerned about this issue and want to see the plebiscite put forth?
I think there are several things that people can do. People can come to the park board meeting on Monday night at 7 p.m. at the 2099 Beach Avenue where the park board offices are. They can sign up to speak to this issue and express their genuine concern for these animals and for democracy in our city. And they can write letters to all the park board commissioners. A simple way of doing that is by going to the Whale Friends website, www.whalefriends.org, and there all you have to do is click on the right buttons and that will send a message to the commissioners. And people should also pay attention to the online surveys that the Globe and Mail mm-hmm. and the Georgia Strait have at the present and express their opinions on those surveys or vote in the polls that are online.
That's a good idea. Thank you, Janos, for coming on the Animal Voices show today to speak to us on this issue of whales and dolphins in captivity and the potential city referendum that may ask Vancouverites if we support this. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. For more information about Whale Friends and to easily send a letter to the commissioner from there, you can go to www.whalefriends.org. And if you want to personally make a statement at the park board meeting next Monday, July 19th, you have until next Monday at noon to get on the speakers list. To do so, just phone Sharla Hay at 604-257-8452. Even if you don't want to speak at the meeting, you can still attend this meeting, which will be held at the park board office on Monday, July the 19th at 7 o'clock p.m. at 2099 Beachfront Avenue in Vancouver, British Columbia.
You are listening to the Animal Voices radio show on 102.7 FM CFRO, Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Thank you for that, Carissa. You do it like a pro. So now it's time for Animal Voices News. 1 week into the stampede and already 5 horses have died. What do you guys think about that?
I think you can no longer say and what the stampede people are saying, and that it's a very rare occurrence. You know, this doesn't usually happen. We take very good care of our animals.
Well, the man who drove this horse to death, Kurt Bentz Miller, said that his horse are his livelihood, and any suggestions that they're mistreated or put at an unreasonable risk are being made by those who don't understand the sport or the relationship between riders and horses. We look after these animals like they're our family, he said. What do you think about that, Allison?
Well, you know, I have to say when I read the article about it that he did seem genuinely concerned. He said that seemingly for no reason the animal seemed to be distressed after his chuck wagon race.
No reason,
right?
Huh? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't really tell what... I mean, the animals can't speak, right? They can't say I'm hurting, right? They can, but the horse looked distressed, so they can show they're hurting.
Right.
So you know, you can't really tell why the horse would be distressed or not. But again, he was doing chuck wagon racing, and it's a fact that since 1986, over 50 horses have died from chuck wagon races. So. You know, there's some correlation there. It's just not a good thing for the horses.
It's a very stressful situation for these animals to be in, to be raced to death like that. I mean, obviously, like he said, the track record shows 50 animals have died from this activity. Obviously, it's not a safe activity. And you know what? If it's his livelihood, do you know how much a chuck wagon race winner takes home?
I have no idea.
$1.5 million.
Wow.
Don't you think that's enough? Yeah, exactly. Don't you think that's enough reason for him to race his horses to death on the course? Sure is. If that's his livelihood, then he is going to do whatever he can to get the $1.5 million.
But I really take issue with people who say it's my livelihood and therefore I can harm, you know, whatever comes into my way. I really, really take issue with that. There are always different ways to make a livelihood, mm-hmm. and ways that don't involve harming animals, especially to such a great extent.
Right. Now, this next news, we've been talking about it all day already. Vancouver resident will get a say on whether the city's aquariums, whales, and dolphins exhibit should be shut down if a motion proposed by the Parks Board Commissioner is approved. Stuart McKinnon doesn't think the aquarium should accept any new cetaceans, so he has introduced a motion to hold a plebiscite on the issue in the next civic election. According to the motion, a non-binding plebiscite would ask the public if they're in favor of ending the containment of cetaceans in Vancouver parks, including the phasing out of existing cetacean exhibits, which are located on land leased by the Parks Board. McKinnon said that a similar plebiscite led to the closure of the Stanley Park Zoo in the 1990s, and this is just bringing back what was promised by previous Parks Boards, he said. But the Parks Board chair, Aaron Jasper, said the board has a contract with the aquarium and can't review the whale and dolphin captivity program until 2015 without risking a lawsuit because of a vote. A vote could damage the aquarium's plan for expansion. Boo-hoo, too bad for the aquarium.
I really look forward to seeing what happens on Monday night, and I'm actually planning to attend because I just want to see it for myself. I'll report back next week, maybe.
That's excellent. And if you want to speak, please do call, we already said this, Shyla Hay at the Parks Board, 604-257-8452. And for everybody else, just send a comment to the Parks Board, pbcomment@vancouver.ca, because it's 3-4 right now. You need to sway one more member to vote for this plebiscite.
Thank you for the news, Joanne.
Okay.
For our feature interview today, we have Nadia Masoudi on the show, who is an 18-year-old filmmaker and animal activist from Hamilton, Ontario. It is her goal to become an advocate leader for animal rights, and one of her endeavors is Animal Freedom Day, which is a global event to be held this July 24th and aims to raise awareness about the need for animal rights in every society and to create positive solutions for the protection of animals. Nadia is also the producer and director of a new documentary film called Don't Eat Me. Hello, Nadia, and welcome to the Animal Voices radio show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure, and I'm so excited to be on today.
Oh, that's great. I love the enthusiasm. Can you tell me about, tell me how your own journey started with caring for animals and becoming a vegetarian?
Well, my journey started, you know, ever since I was really little, I've always had a passion for animals, and I've always loved animals. I mean, every time I would see one, you know, like, say, for example, a bug in our house or something, I'd let them free because it bothered me to, you know, to have them killed. And even, like, animal crackers, I wouldn't eat animal crackers as a little kid.
Oh, my.
It was really bad. But, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't a vegetarian or vegan growing up as a child. So it all started when I was about 12 years old. Me and my father, you know, at the time I was already on the fence about eating meat, and I really wanted to switch. And then me and my dad went to the grocery store, and we got some meat, and it was a very unpleasant experience. There was, I mean, it was very gross to see, and mm-hmm. the meat looked and smelt, and it was gross. It was almost like human flesh. So we were very turned off by it, and that day I became a vegetarian. And from there, I learned more about, you know, dairy cows and egg-laying hens and what they undergo in their in factory farming, and it absolutely disgusted me. So from there, I became a vegan, and I took all eggs, milk, dairy, and animal byproducts out of my diet and my lifestyle.
So how did you come about creating Animal Freedom Day? What made you decide to just organize this huge event?
Well, Animal Freedom Day is the climactic moment for the film I'm currently producing, which is Don't Eat Me. We thought that Animal Freedom Day would be a good day to bring the world together you know, to let them know about animal rights and what we're, and veganism and what we're really trying to promote. So we thought that Animal Freedom Day would make an excellent day. It makes a great climax for the film. So either way, whether, you know, the world comes together to unite to free animals, or if no one comes together at all and no one cares about Animal Freedom Day, either way, we think it'll be a good climax for the film Don't Eat Me.
So this is a global event. What kind of response are you getting from the global community, and how about from even non-vegetarians? Who have you been hearing from, and who will be participating in this event?
Well, we've been getting a lot of global attention from different animal organizations all around the world, including Croatia, India, Korea, UK, New Zealand. There's people from all around the world coming together. They'll be joining us in our live streaming program on July 24th, which is how you can watch Animal Freedom Day on animalfreedomday.com. So there's people, from all around the world coming together, hosting their own events, or just taking part in the day. We've also got, you know, some negative criticism, of course. People don't like the idea of Animal Freedom Day or, you know, promoting animal rights and veganism.
What kind of negative criticism are you getting? I'm curious as to what people are saying and why they wouldn't be in support of, you know, animal freedom.
People argue me. First of all, they don't like how I'm only 18 years old.
I love it.
A lot of other people don't, though. I mean, they think it's like, oh, she doesn't know anything, or she's, you know, she's still very immature.
It's very judgmental people.
Yeah, they are. And they just think that, you know, animals were placed here for our consumption. And Animal Freedom Day is trying to promote that, you know, there's ways to live now in this day and age without harming an animal. You can be just as healthy, and, you know, we can all live in harmony together if we really just put forth and do our part to help save the animals.
So tell us about the celebrity endorsements you've received for this event. There's Nigel Barker from America's Next Top Model, Woody Harrelson, and David Suzuki. How did you get them to personally give their support for Animal Freedom Day?
Well, I contacted each of their agents, and I spoke to them and let them all know what we were doing, what Animal Freedom Day was all about, and the film Don't Eat Me, and they were all very, very impressed by it. I mean, they loved the idea of it, they loved the enthusiasm of it, and definitely the cause of it. So they thought that, well, we definitely want to be a part of it, and they said to include them on it. So they're on board, and they're in full support of it.
I think that's a great achievement, just to get those endorsements. So how does an 18-year-old like you get all of these great celebrity endorsements, make a film, and organize such a well-done event? I think you're a very ambitious young person, and whereas most people your age would be spending their time doing completely other things, here you are following your passion to free the animals via these innovative ideas that you are spearheading all on your own. Where do you think all this full-fledged ambition comes from?
Well, first of all, thank you for that. And all the ambition I think that I have, it really comes from, I think, my upbringing. I mean, my dad always said, you know, you only live once, and why not make the best of your life and, you know, do what you love to do and don't waste any time. And I took all of his mottos and I put them into perspective, and I think that, you know, I really want to make a change in the world. I want to, and even what Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see. So I think that those are great words of wisdom, and I really wanted to, you know, make good use of my time and put forth to what I believe in. So, you know, age doesn't matter to me, and I think that the more I can get done and get it done sooner, then the better it can be, and I can move on and do other things that I want to do, and hopefully bigger and greater and more impactive things.
Well, you're certainly off to a good start. What advice would you have for other young people who care about animals, who want to make a difference as well?
The advice I'd give them first and foremost is to go vegan. It's great. All these organizations out there are great, but the biggest change that you can do to help an animal is really to go vegan, because even if you're helping one animal, if you're still eating other ones, that's kind of unfair to them. So I think go vegan, you know, get all leather and fur and wool and all those other animal byproducts out of your life, and just, you know, truly that will help them the most. They can also sign up for Animal Freedom Day, actually, to support this day, which, you know, we're all for the animals. So you can go online and take the Veg Pledge and sign up and become a member. And from there, the more members we get, the more animals that we can free and, you know, get our cause out there.
So, as you said, you can become a member and pledge to go veg on July the 24th. I think you mentioned before that there's 10 guidelines for people to follow on there. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, so we've provided 10 guidelines for people to follow on Animal Freedom Day. You know, all these guidelines range from, as I mentioned, not eating any meat at all on the day or any animal byproducts, you know, not supporting shows or any entertainment that uses animals for the entertainment purposes, not wearing animal clothing or not using products that are tested on animals, and there's many other, you know, adopt an animal, spay or neuter your pet. There's tons of guidelines we provided to people so that they can follow it, which will help free the animals. And, you know, we encourage everyone to follow all of the 10 guidelines, but if you can only follow one or a couple, then that's fine also. One of the guidelines we have also is we're trying to legislate a new law where it bans the advertisement of raw flesh appearances on any marketing medium. So that's something that we're really pulling for too, so that we won't see any more raw flesh on ads.
That's a really big endeavor, but you know what? It just might happen.
And
it might all just be because of your initiative. Who knows?
Exactly. Well, we're really trying for it, so let's see what happens.
So your plans for Animal Freedom Day are to expand it in future years to make it a 2-day and then a 3-day event in the future. Can you explain the plan behind expanding it like this?
Exactly. Well, we, you know, our goal is to have the world go fully vegan by the year 2375. We hope that they become vegan sooner, but this is the day that we put out there. As I mentioned, or as you mentioned, the first year of Animal Freedom Day, which is this Saturday, July 24th, we encourage everyone to go vegan for 1 day, the next year, 2 days, and the third year of Animal Freedom Day, 3 days, and then so on and so forth. So by the year 2375, we hope that everyone has gone a full year of being vegan. So by that point, people will hopefully accept it and, you know, fully adapt to the vegan lifestyle.
Well, I think that's a great plan for you to have. And yeah, hopefully it'll be before then. But if not, we've got your plan here to be our backup. So what's going to be happening at the main event for Animal Freedom Day? This is at the Burlington Jazz Festival on July 24th.
Yes, so the headquarters are at the Burlington Jazz and Blues Festival. At the local festival, we do have lots of other events going on as well. I mean, we have face painters coming out. We have musicians playing there for it, poets saying their poems, people who have a message and speech for the animal. We also have a kids coloring contest, and what that is we're asking kids to paint what they think animal freedom is, and the best painting that we think depicts what animal freedom is the best will be featured in the documentary Don't Eat Me, and all the paintings will be put on display at the festival for everyone to see. So that's what's happening locally, and the main thing of Animal Freedom Day, though, is the live streaming event. This way you can, everyone can take part from around the world. You just have to go online, animalfreedomday.com, to watch it. And, you know, we have tons of interviews from animal lovers, animal organizations. We encourage people even to Skype us that day. Our Skype account name is Animal Freedom Day, and you can talk to us and be on the program of Animal Freedom Day. And, yeah, we have other events happening around the world that will be in the program as well. So it's going to be a great day.
That sounds so cool. I just want to remind everyone that you're listening to the Animal Voices radio show on 102.7 FM CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So you're from Hamilton, Ontario. What is the animal rights movement like in Hamilton? I'm curious.
Unfortunately, the animal rights movement in Hamilton isn't as good as it should be. I mean, I know everywhere around the world it should be a lot better, but here it's really lacking here. I mean, we only have one predominant vegetarian restaurant in the city, so it's not very good. And I mean, that's why we're definitely trying to do this, to promote animal rights and the animal welfare movement and veganism. I mean, it's something that it should be done in every city, and this city really needs it. So let's hope that after this, that it brings some more awareness.
Definitely. Do you feel that the message of animal rights is starting to go mainstream, though? As a young person, have you noticed any changes yourself in how animal rights is perceived in the mainstream, just even in the last couple years?
Definitely. I do think it is becoming a bit more mainstream, animal rights. Just for example, when I even became vegetarian at first, when I was in elementary school, I was the only vegetarian that they've ever heard of, and, you know, people were appalled by it, and they did
appalled?
They did some rude things about me being vegetarian, but now it's becoming almost more accepting that, and even vegan is becoming more accepting, so it's really good. And I mean, each day it is getting better, but I hope it will move a lot faster and that it becomes fully accepted.
Yeah, definitely. Tell us about the documentary that you're making called Don't Eat Me. What is it about?
Don't Eat Me is a docu-film on animal rights and veganism. So it's a unique documentary. I mean, it does have the typical documentary factual interviews with many doctors and politicians and authors and celebrities as well. But at the same time, it's a story in a feature film. We have a lot of live footage that we've shot from South America of different animals, and each of these animals have a story to tell in the film. And, you know, they all have a characteristics, persona, and as I mentioned, they have a story, and their story relates to the interviews that are in the film. So, you know, it's a definitely a unique documentary. We don't just show the cruelty that happens to the animals. We do touch on that, of course, but we also show that the beauty that animals possess and the love that they show and they have for each other. So it's not just negative, it's positive. We're trying our best not to make it biased either, so that, you know, everyone can really watch it and take something from it.
I'm curious why you chose to film animals in South America.
We went to South America, actually, because the animals are treated a lot different there than they are in other parts of the world. They're more free there, and, I mean, they walk on the streets and on the sidewalk, and that's, like, the norm there. So we thought that that'd be a really good place to film. We have lots of footage of them, you know, doing their everyday typical things, and we thought that this would be a good location to capture what animals really do. People don't know. I mean, people here, if you try to go to a farm, it's factory farming here. They're all in tight cages, living in awful living conditions. Whereas over there, I mean, they still do unfortunately get slaughtered, but they're free there. And we wanted to show how they can live and how they can love when they are free.
So Nadia, how did you get into filmmaking? You're only 18 years old and you're already a filmmaker. I'm wondering about that.
I've grown up in the film industry. My dad is in video production, so I've always been around film and been exposed to it. And, you know, I started editing at a very young age, at the age of 11, actually. I edited my first wedding video, and the people that got it were actually very impressed with my editing skills. So I thought that, you know, this is something I can really see myself getting into. So from there, I started editing more, you know, like little skits with my friends and stuff like that, and posting them on social media sites that I had at the time. And from there, I decided, me and my dad, and we said that what better way to, you know, promote animal rights and veganism and what I truly believe in than to make a film. I mean, I have all the resources right around me. So from there, you know, I got into it, and I started contacting people to be involved with it. And that's where the film started. And now it's almost entering into post-production. We're hoping to release it in summer of 2011.
Are you planning to take it to film festivals by any chance?
Definitely. It's going to, we're going to submit it into many international film festivals. The film will also be available online on the documentary's website for everyone to see, so anyone from around the world can watch it online, and that's the plan for the film.
So I really like how you say that, you know, you found that you were good at editing, filmmaking. You're taking your skills to do work for the animals. Do you think that that is really the way to go in following a passion to do work for the animals?
Definitely. I mean, whatever anyone is good at, everyone has a different talent, whether it's playing music or making film or writing or drawing. And I think that, you know, everyone should tackle their talents and put it to what they believe in. And I think that, you know, what I believe in is making the animals have a better life. And, you know, I want to promote animal rights. And I think that that's something that should be done. It's long overdue. So that's why I'm incorporating my talents into animal rights.
And finally, can you tell our listeners how they can be involved in Animal Freedom Day?
Definitely. So I strongly encourage everyone to go to Animal Freedom Day's website, which is animalfreedomday.com, and to sign up and take the Veg Pledge and become a member. You can watch us online or you can Skype us live on July 24th. Our account name is Animal Freedom Day. You can also go to the documentary's website. It's don'teatme.ca, and you can learn more about the film there. If anyone needs to contact me too for any reason or any concern, I'd be happy to hear from you. My email is Nadia@animalfreedomday.com.
And you have Facebook and Twitter too, right?
Definitely. So you can also become a fan or a follower of Don't Eat Me and Animal Freedom Day. They're both found on Facebook. So you just go to Facebook and or Twitter and type in Don't Eat Me and Animal Freedom Day and you'll find it. And, you know, become a fan, become a follower, like it. I'm on Facebook, too, so if anyone has any questions or concerns, you can reach out to me as well.
Thank you so much, Nadia, for coming on the show today to talk about Animal Freedom Day, which will be held globally this July 24th, 2010. To find out more about this event and the upcoming documentary film, Don't Eat Me, please visit www.animalfreedomday.com and don'teatme.ca. Thank you, Nadia. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
So you're listening to Animal Voices on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. Nadia was certainly an inspirational young woman, isn't she?
I think she's great.
Yeah.
I love that she's 18, even though other people don't. I mean, what's
I
with
know.
That, right? But you're 18. You don't deserve an opinion.
But yeah, she's certainly a very bright young woman. So for next week, I'm not sure who we're going to have on yet. I've
surprise.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. And I'm sure it's going to be great regardless. And I just want to remind our listeners that to join us on Facebook, Animal Voices Vancouver.
I noticed that we got a few more members this
really?
Week, like two or three.
Excellent.
I keep tabs on this, so people, please go on there. It'd be nice to see us get a surge of 100 in 1 week, like we have done a couple times in the past already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please do. Maybe you'll win a prize or something.
Yeah, and get your friends to join as well.
Yeah.
You know, you can send invitations for people to join a group, like your friends, and that would be a great way to, you know, get more people involved.
And, you know, if you want to get in touch with us, make some comments or suggestions, we love to hear from you. RadioAnimalVoices@gmail.com. And if you're the Twitter kind of person, and Allison and I are not, although I'm now reading
a book on
it.
You know, I was on there last night trying to figure... You're reading a book on it? There's a book written on Twitter?
You know what? I'm listening
to... It must be really hard.
I know. That's what we think.
But I was on it last night trying to figure out things, and I actually sent my sister, who's on Twitter, a message. I'm going to ask her if she comes. And I noticed that she's been talking a lot to Kirstie Alley on there, who's her Twitter
really?
Friend. That's just kind of impressive.
Hmm. Well, Animal Voices YVR, if you want to talk to other celebrities like Allison and I. Right. And also just to remind everybody that we are supported by the public. The only reason that Animal Voices get to be on the air like this is because of member support. So please go on to cooperadio.org, become a member, or make any donations, just make sure you say that this donation is going towards Animal Voices.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, take care.
This is Radio EcoShock on the triple threat: peak oil, climate change, and the crumbling economy. How will you respond? Hear indie journalist Kurt Cobb ask and answer some of the embarrassing questions. We start out with collapse and try to recover, just like everybody else. Our second guest, Carolyn Baker, has already moved into post-peak reality. Her books, her blog, her seminars help people prepare physically and psychologically, living in the slump and coming out whole. We'll round up with the big cover-up in the North. Canada's oil patch prime minister appoints climate deniers to key research boards, slashes research, and muzzles top scientists. Shades of George Bush. How they keep Canadians and the rest of the world in the dark. That is Graham Saul of Climate Action Network, interviewed by Stephen Leahy. All to 350 tunes. Let's go.
Human beings with eyes that see and ears that come to understand what's long been clear. There's too much carbon in our atmosphere. Straight up, and the maximum capacity in terms of parts per million climatology.
Friends, our developing predicament is so strange